start your day with the Slumberland Furniture Studio. This is 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is 7:39 here at 95.3 WBEV. Our Packers talk with our Packers guy, Jason Wilde, is brought to you by Columbus Family Dental. Nothing says Merry Christmas like a root canal or a crown from Dr. Adam at Columbus Family Dental. Also, the Bayside Supper Club, the premier destination for chowing down and big holidays and such. And you can still get your reservations on Christmas Eve brunch from 10:30 until 1:30. And they're open Christmas Day from 10:30 till 2 as well. Bayside gift certificates make the perfect gift for that hard-to-shop-for person. Or tonight, it's Friday, the all-you-can-eat chicken and fish seafood buffet from 4:30 until 9. Tomorrow, Saturday nights, is the prime rib shrimp seafood buffet from 5 till 8:30. Sunday brunch every Sunday from 10:30 to 1:30. Book your weddings, anniversaries, company events, Christmas parties, whatever, at the Bayside Supper Club. Jason Wilde, how are you doing today?
Are you guys all Christmas music all the time right now, or was Eartha Kitt just a one-off?
No, I think we...
We started that this week, actually.
I figured I had the right person to ask since you're the boss.
Yeah. I'm glad you could identify Eartha Kitt, though. I appreciate that.
I am not a Santa Baby guy. I don't enjoy that song. I don't like I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of that one. And I'm really not a fan of the, what's the one, Slip a Roofie Into My Drink So You Don't Leave?
Do you know what's funny? Though the three that you just mentioned, I don't care for any of those either.
I love Christmas music. I've been listening to it since, like, November 3rd, but those I just don't I can't, you know, the one what is it, Baby It's Cold Outside?
Yeah,
is that what it's called?
I
mean, have we ceased playing that, generally speaking?
No.
I mean, it is am I wrong to view it through the prism that I do?
Because the song...
No, you're correct, and that's actually been a big topic.
No,
there's been a lot of conversation around that.
You guys interpret... you also could interpret that the woman in the show wants to stay, and she's trying to come up with a reason to stay.
What's in this drink is the problem that I have.
People.
He's making sure she stays.
Yeah, well, you know, that's all right.
Exactly.
You know what I was a fan of as a kid, though? Watching Batman and watching Eartha Kitt as the Catwoman.
Oh, interesting. That's true.
Never wanted to miss an episode when I got home from school.
And then Darlene Love, who sings Baby Please Come Home, is Roger Murtaugh, played by Danny Glover in the Lethal Weapon movies. She is Danny Glover's wife, Mrs. Murtaugh. So, you know, let's be honest, Lethal Weapon, one of the great Christmas movies of all time.
It is.
Right after Die Hard.
Wait, people call that a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
What?
For sure. I mean, it starts with, like, there's like a Christmas song playing and the girl goes off the balcony, like, there's Christmas decorations. Total Christmas.
Yes, it is.
I guess that's all it takes.
Scary.
Huh?
So, you watch Die Hard 1, 2, you watch Lethal Weapon, and that's nothing says Merry Christmas
and then
like
it's
that.
It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, yes. Right. You know, it's a triple feature.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got to talk about?
Sherry, you know, since I think, was I here last week, or were we here last week? I think it was just me last week, maybe. I don't know. Sherry, I'll let you lead off with the questions.
I don't have any questions today.
Sherry has no questions about... So, Sherry, can
That doesn't mean I'm not going to contribute.
Hey, what's going on? How's Lenny?
Lenny's good. Good. Okay. It's been really good, thanks.
Do you know what Sherry's actually buying Lenny for the holiday season is? She wants to buy an outfit that looks just like a Tommy DeVito's agent.
Oh, my gosh. Cheesy.
Well, I think he's authentic.
Yeah,
that's a word.
Like, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like I don't think that's a shtick for him. Like,
like
me, you know, we all have our looks, right? Like, I don't, you know, Wade and I are kind of in like
sweatpants,
frumpy
shorts.
Dad era.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I do not wear sweatpants. I'm a shorts guy. So like today we're doing our show from the Flea Farm in Muskego, which Jesse Nelson is expecting to be treated like a king because he's from the Muskego area.
Oh my!
But I've got what I would always wear. I've got a pair of Nike 270 Air Maxes, shorts, and a hoodie. And my hoodie is a Fleet Farm hoodie because I like to dress appropriately for occasions. But this is my, and it was funny because we, you know, Maddie is in the Nutcracker at the Milwaukee Ballet, and Sydney is our younger daughter, and she is her, a clone of her dad. And so she went to see the Nutcracker, and she wore a Life is Good hoodie with like a cat tangled up in Christmas lights, and these awesome Nike blazers that are Christmas themed blazers. They're green and red, and they've got like snowy fur on the back. Like,
nice.
This is who we all play to, who we are, and Tommy DeVito's agent is definitely playing to his look, and I respect him for it.
No, if you saw a picture, he's wearing this hat. He looked like a total agent.
I've seen it.
To the nines, had all the jewelry on. Now, and his dad, see, they are legit made people, right? Because they said his dad owns a, quote, plumbing business. So.
I'm sure, yes. I do not want to question the veracity of DeVito Plumbing. No, I'm not. Because I don't want to be on any sort of list that offended them.
No, because that was legitimately, like you said, you watched that legitimately you thought that would have been right out of a TV show, the family, but that's legitimately what they are.
It's a great story, though. Like, you guys know me. I cheer for the story. And if Tommy DeVito was the Packers quarterback, and I don't know, I guess he'd be of like German heritage or Polish heritage or something. But like, the dude is from New Jersey. He is living with his parents while he's the starting quarterback for an NFL team. Like, count me in on that storyline. I am 1,000% in on that. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I hope he's contributing to,
just like you are,
living expenses. Right?
Tommy DeVito, does he have to pay rent for his room?
I was going to say, I'm sure he's living rent-free. By the way, you know who Tommy DeVito is, right? Tommy DeVito was the quarterback for the Illinois Fighting Illini under Brett Bielema, who beat the Badgers in Madison and got Paul Chryst fired.
Yeah.
Like, that was the last game that Paul Chryst coached was against Tommy DeVito.
So, looking at Tommy DeVito and the Giants, is it, you know, obviously high hopes for the Packers. People are going to run the table. Is this a blip? Because winning on the road is never easy in the NFL, obviously, and the Packers let one. They had a chance to win down the stretch. And I thought this was an encouraging thing, and I hear Tausch was talking about this as well, that the fact that they can play like garbage and still have the lead with a minute and a half to go is kind of a positive note for the team, even though they didn't get it done, isn't it?
I thought so. He thought so. You know who didn't think so?
Jesse?
Jordan Love.
Oh, Jordan Love. Okay.
Which I really liked, frankly. Mm-hmm. Like, I
wouldn't have liked it if I was him either.
Well, yeah, and I really respect that, right? Like, so I have been, I don't want to say supportive, that's the wrong word, but I really like Jordan. And Tausch makes fun of me because I say that so often. But, like, He's definitely different than his predecessor, who I had a great relationship with for most of his time in Green Bay. But I would say that what I like about Jordan is, A, when he screws up, man, he owns it. There's no, like, kind of hemming and hawing. Like, he's just, you know, I didn't play very well. Boom. Done. And I kind of gave him the out, and I thought it was valid at the time as I was saying it. But, like, yeah, he did not play well. I'm not disagreeing with him. But, like, the last three drives, they miss a field goal, make a field goal, and then score the go-ahead touchdown with a minute 33 to go. Like, to me, I've seen, and I said this to him, I've seen plenty of young quarterbacks who played like garbage, and it just kept getting worse. They don't pull themselves out of it. And in his case, like, they're in position to win the game with 93 seconds left, which I didn't think was going to be the case the way they were playing. Now, Saquon Barkley helped them by fumbling at the end of a very long run. But bottom line is, he got an opportunity, and he got them the lead. And what I loved about Jordan is he's like, yeah, but, like, look at the two drives before that. Like, the missed field goal drive, we were in the red zone. We got to capitalize there. In the main field goal drive, we were at the 25-yard line. Like, if we get touchdowns there instead of field goals, then he doesn't have to throw the touchdown to Heath to take the lead by one, but if he does, suddenly now you're winning going away. It's not coming down to a kick when the defense can't get a stop at the end. So again, I really like that about him, because the low-hanging fruit, as Tausch would say, would be to accept the accolades and say, hey, we battled back, and it's a growing experience. We got better because of this, and we're going to be better the next time, which is probably true, but I like his attitude going the other way instead.
Yeah, what about a jet sweep, though, on the two-point conversion to the short side of the field?
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, and I asked LaFleur, you know, I know this is going to come as a surprise to you guys, mm-hmm. but on occasion, even someone as likable as me could get under people's skin. I know you're very, very surprised. Tausch would be stunned to hear that, because he never gets irritated with me. But I asked LaFleur, I'm like, hey, you know, did you see something that you really felt like you could attack these guys on the edges? Because, you know, you did a lot of jet sweep and end arounds and reverses. And I said, and did the Giants kind of figure that out? And then you need to find the counter move to that. And he was like, I've never heard him do this before, because he always is. It starts with me. I got to have better play calls, right? That's what he always says. I got to do a better job. And he takes the focus off his guys. And in that instance, on that play you're talking about, because you get the two-point conversion, and now the Giants can only tie the game with a field goal and force overtime. And I couldn't believe it. He said, well, you know, yeah, it would have been nice to score there, or nice to get the two-point conversion there, but we missed two blocks at the point of attack, and if we make those blocks, Jaden Reed walks in. And I was like, whoa. So you're saying that the play call was fine. Your guys screwed up the execution, which he never does. So that really surprised me when he said that. But he's probably right. I mean, if it's better executed. But I didn't like the call. Like, Jordan Love is finally getting rolling in the game. I want him sprinting out, so he's got kind of a run-pass option. I want him throwing the ball to get that two-point conversion. And even if they would have gotten it on that end around or whatever that misdirection handoff was, I still would have believed that throwing it would have been better.
We're talking with Jason Wilde, our Packers guy here, brought to you by the Bayside Supper Club and Columbus Family Dental. You're turning into the Peter Ducey of the Packers press room right now, always hammering the person up front with these weird questions, and they're getting mad at you.
No, I mean, there's a few things that you could say that would be really hurtful to me, Wade, and that's probably pretty high up.
I knew you were going to say that, Jason. I apologize, but I'm saying
I appreciate the apology.
But you ask questions, though, that sometimes people up on the thing are like, oh, what is he asking?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, and all kidding aside, like that is my job,
yeah,
right? Like I know this sounds hokey, but it's true. Like, I have always believed, you know, first of all, I've got one of the greatest jobs ever.
Yes,
like, you will never hear me complain. Like, and I know you're wired the same way, Wade. Like, we've got to do a lot of really cool things in our careers because of the opportunities we've had. But I do take very seriously, and look, it's not as important as covering the White House and Ukraine and the Israel-Hamas war. I don't have any illusions about what I do for a living, but I do believe that I am a conduit to Packers fans who are extremely passionate and care extremely deeply about their football team. And so when there are questions, whether they are positive, which, quite frankly, I think the vast majority of my questions are, like, if a guy gets benched, I'm more likely to write a story about the guy that's getting the job than the guy that's losing the job. That's kind of how I'm wired. But certain times, there's stuff that happens that I want answers to. Right? And I did it yesterday to Joe Barry. I'm like, look, I know you're not one to throw your guys under the bus, but, you know, you're playing well off the line of scrimmage on that third completion on the game-winning field goal drive. Like, is that a player not knowing what he's supposed to do, or is that you making that call? Because LaFleur was pretty pissed about it. And he basically said that Carrington Valentine did not get the call from the sideline, which, again, in a crucial moment like that, feels like it's kind of important to make sure that you get the call in to everyone. But that he played off in it, that's what got that drive going. Like, the Packers, if you think back, you know, the big plays, obviously, there's a 32-yard completion on which Wandale Robinson beats Keyshawn Nixon. And that sets up the field goal. The Giants then are just putzing around to use up time before kicking the game winner. But the play before that was the one that LaFleur was really mad about. The first two plays that drive, they tackled a receiver inbounds, so the clock keeps running. It's one's a 5-yard gain, one's a 7-yard gain. But the problem was that that third pass, where Valentine was so far off, they get 9 yards and they get out of bounds to stop the clock. And that makes everything a lot easier on them moving forward. So LaFleur was not happy. But Joe Barry, you know, if he was a player, he would be what we call just a guy. Like, he's not bad. He's not good. He's just sort of, And I think if you look at this defense, that's kind of how I feel about. They've been good enough to win a lot of games this year, but it's not like there's nothing close to dominance. And I'm really eager to see how they play against a not very good offense and a not very good quarterback, but a team that has found a way to win some games just like the Packers have. And this is a really important one on Sunday. Like, if the Packers are truly playoff bound, you can't lose to the Giants and now on a short week turn around and lose at home to the Buccaneers. You can't do it. And so this is a really important game for that acceleration of their development as a young team.
You know, you talked about that, you know, that Giants game, because you figured if you win three out of the last five, you had a good chance to get in. Now you're sitting here, right? Now you're like, okay, you have to win three out of four now, right? To really feel like you're going to get in. Because would they have jumped the Vikings if they would have beat the Giants? And would they have moved up to the sixth spot? No.
Well, no, because they don't have the head-to-head with the Vikings right now. But again, they have to play each other again. Mm-hmm. On New Year's Eve, so there's other times. But look, the bottom line is, despite the loss, if the season ended today, they would still be the seventh playoff team at 6-7. But the season does not end today. They still have these four games. And look, the Buccaneers, the Carolina Panthers, the Vikings, and the Bears, none of them are good.
No.
Right? They're not all awful, but they're not all good. And the Packers are in that same kind of malaise as those guys are. So they're a team right now. The Green Bay Packers are a team that can lose to anyone and that can beat anyone. Now, I don't think they're going to lose to Carolina. So somewhere in those other three games, starting on Sunday, they got to win two. And the Bears suddenly now look like they're not as god awful as they were earlier. So I think it's going to be a really interesting stretch run. And I do think they're still going to make the playoffs, but. I'm not as confident as I was. I thought they would have a clunker in New York, and they would find a way to win it anyway. That's what I expected. And quite frankly, with a minute 33 left, I thought I was right.
And that was more of the mirror of Aaron Rodgers' 08 season. Like four times that he led them to a score late, and then the defense let him, the other team march right down the field and get the game winner?
That's exactly what it reminded me of. Yep. I mean, they're 4-5 this season in games decided by that team back in 2008 was 1-7 in those games. So that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
Like, they went 6-10 that year, and this year they're going to go, 8-9, 9-8, and it'll be those three more wins that they already have in close games that'll allow them to have that better record.
Hey, Sherry, what does corn cost in Tampa Bay, Sherry?
What?
What does corn cost in Tampa Bay?
I have no idea.
A Buccaneer!
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
Jason, so you think the Packers are going to get it done on Sunday against the Buccaneers?
I do. I don't have anything against Baker Mayfield at all. I actually really liked how right before the draft he replicated that Brett Favre laying on his bed in the jean shorts on the phone picture. I think he's another example of how, you know, there was a time when the Cleveland Browns thought they had their guy, right? He's playing pretty well. And just kind of the transient nature of trying to become a great quarterback. Like, you can have moments, and Jordan Love certainly has. But now, I mean, I don't know. Does Baker Mayfield strike fear in your heart as a Packers fan? I don't think so. I mean, this is a game they should win. And the Bucs have a really good – they have a good defense. They're top 10. They're one of the best against the run. They're good in the red zone. They're good on third down. So I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk. I think it's going to be another one-score game. But I do think the Packers are going to win, and that gets them to 7-7, and then they got to win two of their last three to make the playoffs.
All right, Jason, well, when you're at Fleet Farm in Muskego for Wilde and Tausch today, pick me up some cashews and some birdseed. Can you do that for me?
I can do that. I also, that's where I get my corn. It's not a buccaneer. It's a big bag for the deer in our backyard. But yes, I will, and I will send my warmest regards to Jesse. I know he is still very, very popular in the greater Beaver Dam Metroplex. So
not
I'll let
me.
Him know that you guys sent your love.
Nope, not
right.
from me.
Jason, we'll,
specifically not from me. Please give him that message.
I will make that abundantly clear,
thank
Sherry,
you.
On your behalf. You're
thank
welcome.
You.
All right, see you later, Jason.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
You
all
too.
Right.
Jason Wilde, our Packers guy, brought to you by Columbus Family Dental and the Bayside Supper Club. Again, Christmas Eve brunch, 10:30 till 1:30. They're open Christmas Day from 10:30 till 2. And Bayside gift certificates make the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy person. And Dr. Adam Forrester from Columbus Family Dental, appreciate him being on board with Jason Wilde as well, our Packers insider on 95.3 WBEV.
If a new smile is what you're looking for,